Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Well, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneckinize coming to you live from Corpus down here. It's where I live, down in hometown. And we're just kicking back here. It's Sunday evening, March 28th, I believe it is. Yeah, we're having a lot of fun here tonight. Just kicking back, I was reading some of the headlines, and this week was very interesting. You know, a couple of tow truck drivers duke it out in the middle of the interstate and rush hour traffic. And then the police are searching for a day cab that killed a woman in a hit and run in South Carolina. And Love opens up a store in Tennessee that's made a headline because they're expanding greatly out there. And then an employee accused of stealing $100,000 from a trucking company. And then I thought was interesting is a truck driver tried to avoid getting caught down in South Texas by blending into all of the escaped illegal aliens that were coming out of the back of his truck. So those are a bunch of headlines going over this week, and we'll talk about a lot of them. And here at Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. So you can call in at 516-387-1733. Check us out at redneckinize.com. And don't forget to go over there and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate it, and everything's working out over there great. So one of the great things that we got going on, we got a bunch of great sponsors. One of the sponsors that we've been looking at is Load to Ride Transportation, LTR Transportation. They've stepped up big, help us out here, and we appreciate them getting involved and helping us out. They great little small trucking company. I mean they're pretty big as far as mid-sized trucking companies, but they just got a bunch of cool trucks and cool logo and great pay package. It looks like they're taking care of their drivers pretty good over there. So if you're looking for a change or trying to get into the business somehow, go over there and give them a check it out. It's ltrtransportation.com. Or you can give them a holler at 720-277-0030. And, you know, just give them a shout out. Look them up on the website and like their – they got a Facebook page and Instagram, all that good stuff. And just send them a note and let them know you appreciate them supporting Redneckinize, because I think they appreciate that when they hear from folks like that. So yeah, we're just kicking back here and getting on down the line for the next couple hours here at Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. And just give us a shout. It's 516-387-1733. And like I said, we're having a great time here taking care of things. You know, one of the headlines, like I said, was getting through was that there was a truck company that had an employee. And this was interesting because, you know, truck drivers, we always think that we're not trusted enough these days because we're out there on the road and we're given all this responsibility to be on our own. And we're, of course, the truck's expensive, the trailer's expensive, the freight is drop dead expensive. So what would, people be worried about truck drivers for, right? I mean, come on now. But, this one here, it was, it says here, a woman, she was accused of stealing more than $100,000 from a trucking company where she worked. The investigation into the theft allegations began in January and still being conducted. According to the news, it says M&D Trucking co-owners Mark Epley and Dennis Landy contacted police after beginning their own investigation into discrepancies on a 45-year-old Jennifer Lynn Garland's time card and payroll records inspired by her excessive use of sick and personal time. Now, see, that's crazy, you know. So not only are the police looking into whether or not she stole money. Now, if she just, you know, I mean, this is one of those things where it's like, come on, people. You know, if she took off with something, I can understand that. But you know what? She cooked the books is what she looked like she was doing. So It says upon their own investigation, the two coroners realized that they had been locked out of the system. Once they finally regained access, the two discovered that Garland had been altering her time card and give herself more hours, giving herself a $3 raise and even extra hours of personal time, sick time, and vacation days. She had also written multiple checks to herself, deposited them into her own account, and then altered company records to make it appear as if the checks had been sent to suppliers for materials and were never purchased. See, this is one of those things where everybody says, you know what I'd love to find a good bookkeeper or some kind of person to take care of the stuff. And you know, that way I don't have to worry about it. You know, yeah, well, yeah, I'd love to find somebody like that to take care of that stuff for me. Here you go. You found them. There you go. It says currently at least $100,000 in company funds have been verified missing. But that number is expected to rise. And I mean, you know, a lot of times truck drivers, they're like, you know what, man, if I had the authority to go in there and fix those things, I could do that for you. But you guys are taking too long, you know, hurry up with it and all that. And this is why they don't give a lot of people access to a lot of the computers and all that stuff like that. I mean, just imagine coming on down the line, gal, you know, I remember working for a big trucking company, and you know, you're kind of the manager of a department. And almost every week there are reports that you have to fill out, and there's always like double checking, like people constantly checking into what you got going on and what are you doing? Who are you paying? Who are you spending money on? What are you doing? All that. And I mean, you know, if you've got one person that's in charge of all of this, and you're not even double checking what that one person's doing, I don't care if they've been there 20 years or 20 minutes. You know, this is what could happen right here. You know, it's so funny that they've been locked out of the system. Well, when's the last time, you know, I mean, if you're not worried about getting into the system like that, then what's your problem? You know, come on, you need to be checking that stuff. If not every day, at least every week, but you're not, you know? So I just thought that was interesting, you know, that, We're given so much responsibility out here, but then it's not a lot of responsibility, but we are given the trust of handling all of this stuff. And you got people in the office. I mean, shoot, man, you know, you think you got authority? No, they're holding all the money right there. Gone. There you go. So yeah, we're just kicking back here. Like I said, give us a call 516-387-1733. And, we're going to kick it back here a little bit and, enjoy the night and everybody let's talk it out. Give us a call, 516-387-1733. And I'm Ed, and this is Redneckinize. All things trucking, and then some.
Hold tight with a leather fist. Watch out when he starts to twist. What the daddies used to tell them boys, how to ride them bulls. I got a jingle in my jeans, sore places in between, and I'm leaving old Salt Lake with a push and a pull. 10-4, buddy, come on back. A horse trainer on a Cadillac. Yeah, we're talking to the cowboy in the Coupe de Ville. Chugging up one side, sliding down the other. Well, I'm a lover of the other side of the hill. Turn up that radio. Don't want to think about a rodeo. Don't want to think about a roundup up in old Cheyenne. Well, it's a crazy circuit. Oh, but still you work it. Turn down that sound, boys. Let's get up and check the scan. 10-4, buddy, come on back. A horse trailer on a Cadillac. Yeah, we're talking to the cowboy in the Coupe de Ville. Chugging up one side, sliding down the other. Well, I'm a lover of the other side of the hill. Bandana hanging on the mirror, still wet from ear to ear.
Well, I guess it's true then what the wise men say. When you ride your last one, well, make sure he's the best one. Jump while he's moving, tip your hat, boys, and walk away. 10-4, buddy, come on back. A horse trailer on a Cadillac. Yeah, we're talking to the cowboy in the Cooperville. Chugging up one side, sliding down the other. Well, I'm a lover of the other side of the hill. 10-4, buddy, come on back. A horse trailer on a Cadillac. Yeah, we're talking to the cowboy in the Cooperville. Chugging up one side, sliding down the other. Well, I'm a lover of the other side of the hill. Well, I'm a lover of the other side of the hill.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneckinize. Redneckinize, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
The eagle's been flying slow, and the flag's been flying low, and a lot of people saying that America's fixing to fall. But speaking just for me, and some people from Tennessee, we got a thing or two to tell you all. This lady may have stumbled, but she ain't never failed. And if the Russians don't believe that, they can all go straight to hell. We're gonna put her feet back on the path of righteousness, and then God bless America again. And you never did think that it ever would happen again. In America's future, you never did think that we'd ever get together again. We're damn sure fools, you were walking real proud and we're talking real loud again. In America, you never did think that it ever would happen again. From the sound up in Long Island, out to San Francisco Bay, and everything is in between them is our home. Done a little bit of fighting amongst ourselves, but you outside people best leave us alone. Cause we'll all stick together, and you can take that to the bank. That's the cowboys and the hippies, and the rebels and the Yanks. You just go and lay your hand on a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and I think you're gonna finally understand. And you never did think that it ever would happen again. In America, did you? You never did think that we'd ever get together again. We're damn sure fools. You were walking real proud and we're talking real loud again. In America, you never did think that it ever would have happened again.
Oh, there it goes. Okay, we're back now. I was just checking to see it was the sound messed up on us. So anyway, that's great. We're back. Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Knives coming back at you. You can call us at 516-387-1733. And we're just kicking back here, going over some of the news and headlines and just talking about what life on the road is about. So we're Redneck and Knives, all things trucking and then some. Check us out at redneckandknives.com. So a few things about us. What we all started doing is we started hanging out at the truck stop. We started going out. Actually, take that back. So, yeah, what we all started out, we started hanging out at the truck show. We met a bunch of us. There was about five or six of us. We met at a truck show, at the Mid-America Trucking Show back in 2012. And pretty much just met in the parking lot. You know, we had never been there before to spend the whole week there. We wanted to get there, get a good parking spot, and hang out. So we were kicking back and just kind of introducing ourselves to, because we ended up parking next to each other. And a couple of us, we had met online, so we decided we were going to get there at the same time and everything and parking each other and all that. And so we just, interesting enough, just started hanging out and saying, you know, I'd never been here, me neither, whatever, you know, what are we doing? And we started looking around, and, you know, what it was that when you set up in the parking lot, you kind of, what you do is you have to be prepared to be there all weekend, because what's going to happen is that you're going to be boxed in with a lot of other truckers, and there's not a lot of room to move around, and there's not a lot of access to a lot of different things. And of course, this was back in 2012. So, you know, Uber wasn't that available that well. And of course, you know, just certain things were limited. So what we decided to do is like, well, hey, you know, let's all put our money and hats together and all that. And that way, when we want to spend time, you know, and hang out, we can. And we found out that there were people out there cooking, and there were people out there putting on some shows and stuff. We knew that, like, OIDA was going to have a stage, and they were going to set up a concert and all that stuff. And we knew that there might have been some people with hot dogs or any kind of, like, different things doing. And so we knew that was going to be there, but we just really didn't know how big or how much or whatever. So what happened was that we decided, you know what we're going to do is we're going to get a little grill, and we're going to get a table, and we're going to get some tents and all that, so we can hang out at our truck and you know, spend time together. And that way we got chairs. We didn't realize we were going to need some chairs, because one thing I can tell you, when you come to the truck show and park in the parking lot, you're going to need some chairs, because there's not a lot of chairs. And of course, you know, when you go, the cool thing about it is you get one of those folding chairs, and it's got a little strap where you can carry it on your shoulder or whatever. And if you're walking around visiting and all that, you just open up your chair, plop it down, have a seat. When it's time to go, grab your chair, keep on walking. You know, that's the best part. So anyway, we decided, you know, we were going to hang out and all that. And of course, there are a lot of things going on and stuff. So then the next year came around, and we decided we were going to do the same things, you know, maybe bring a little bit more supplies. We're a little bit more prepared this time and everything. And come to find out, what happened was a lot of people showed up that never been there before. And we said, well, we were here last year. This is what you got to be prepared for. And this is where you need to look out and make sure you park and you don't need anything. Make sure you get your groceries. Make sure everything you need is where it is, and everything's good. And so then when they did that, you know, just made new friends, start hanging out, and bringing more food, getting more food for everybody. And then they were like, well, you know, this is great stuff here. They've got all these places here with hot dogs and hamburgers and different things. And they say it's free, but they want money. You know, they're always wanting money. So it was like, okay, well, let's take a break from that. And let's not worry about, you know, trying to get money from people. Let's just focus on having a good time. Well, we came back the next year, and it was more people, just more. And we were bringing more food, and we were having just more fun with more stuff and more just bringing, being prepared, being ready for the show. More people were showing up, never been before, and more people showing up that have always been there. And we were just always being congregated around our area. And then the people that were there putting on, like, the little shows and trying to, you know, they were like, yeah, technically it's free, but we need donations. So we require donations. Well, that's not really how it's supposed to be, but okay, that's fine. You know, so then we said, you know what, the next year we're going to do it. We're going to be the ones out there saying, come eat with us, sit down and hang out with us. And then you know, donations are accepted, but we're not going to hold your feet to the fire. You know, we're not going to like keep the meal away from you unless you pay. That's, it's not what we're about. And then come to find out, we start getting those few little sponsors because they say, you know what, don't worry about drivers having to pay. A lot of drivers don't have money to be paying, you know, and all that. And of course, what it happens is when you force people to pay for stuff, when you're trying to like create a crowd to where you can create camaraderie and conversation, people don't hang around when they got to pay for stuff. So, you know, it's one of those things. So just hanging around, bringing together people, sitting around talking and learning and just having a great time. That's what we just become about. And it's been a lot of great fun. So now that was in 2012 is when we started our brand new thing. And now it's going into, we were expecting a huge 2020, but of course that didn't happen. And we were expecting an even bigger 2021, and probably that's not going to happen either. So we are really, really getting excited about this new up and coming 2022 truck show season that is going to be a blast. So we're really excited about that for the future. And we hope that everybody's going to be excited for us. And of course, we've grown it now. We've got a YouTube channel, Facebook page, and now this live podcast every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock Eastern time right here on Blog Talk Radio, Unplugged Radio Network. And it's been great fun. So let's see. There we go. So, you know, our video has been crapping out, or our video is messed up, our audio is messed up, and just kind of getting the kinks out, you know, as it goes. It's just a work in progress. So we're hoping things will continue to work out. But other than that, we're just having a great time. So yeah, kick it back with us, and we'll be getting to know the system a little better, and hope everybody sticks around. We got a lot of more news and stuff to go on. So yeah, kick back with us. 516-387-1733.
Yeah.
All right. This is Ed with Redneck and Eyes, all things trucking and then some. Stay tuned.
Jack and Diane, two American kids growing up in the heartland. Jackie gonna be a football star. Diane's debutante backseat of Jackie's car. Sucking on chili dog, outside taste freeze. Diane's sitting on Jackie's lap, got his hands between his knees. Jackie say, hey Diane, let's run off behind the shady trees. Dribble off those Bobby Brooks, let me do what I please. Say, oh yeah, life goes on, long after the thrill of living is gone. Jackie sits back, flexes his thoughts for the moment, scratches his head and does his best James Dean. Well, then there Diane gotta run off to city. Diane says, baby, you ain't missing nothing. Jackie say, oh yeah, life goes on, long after the thrill of living is gone. Oh yeah, let's say life goes on, long after the thrill of living is gone.
All right, good deal. Welcome back. This is Ed with Redneck and Eyes, all things trucking and then some. Check us out at redneckandeyes.com. And don't forget to go over there and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We really appreciate it. You know, we're gaining in subscriptions over there. And with everything going right, it just feels real cool that we could just slide right on in there and just start, you know, making more videos, getting the messages out there to drivers. And we just gain a lot of notoriety with that too, and we just appreciate everything everybody's doing over there. And just give us your feedback on all that, you know. Give us share the videos, watch them, like them, comment on them, all that good stuff, and we really appreciate that. So one of the headlines I thought was really interesting, and you know, you kind of think it's kind of weird that you see the headline, but then it gets frustrating because, so here's what the headline said. It's a CDLLife.com. It says, death of several birds in an oil spill wreck inspires charges against truck driver. And I'm like, what the hell does that mean? You know, you start reading it and it's just crazy because here's what happened. So California prosecutors are pressing charges against a trucker who crashed near a river, spilling oil and endangering the health of native wildlife. It says the accident happened on March 21st, 2020, but charges were not pursued until this year. It says, according to Cal Coast News, trucker Jesse, Lasagna? He was hauling oil along Highway 166 through Santa Barbara County when he made an unlawful turning movement at an unsafe speed and overturned, causing the oil tanker trailer to come close, to come loose from the truck and roll into the nearby Koyama River, spilling 4,533 gallons of crude oil into the river. Okay, now first off, I guess this, they're basically just going off the report here. It says made an unlawful turning movement at an unsafe speed. And, of course, it's got, like, little quotes. So I'm guessing they're basing that off of a report that was made. And then it says causing the trailer to come loose from the truck. Already right there, you got to see suspicion about, you know, what the hell's going on with that. So, and there's a few pictures. And it looks, I mean, like you said, it's the trailer hauling crude oil. Well, that just means that by looking at the container that was that they have a picture here, and it just looks like it's one of those, you know, it's a trailer. It's not a conventional tanker. It's something different. Like you see the ones that haul oil, they're more where they are the outsides. You could see that they're, you know, maybe a little more structural. Where they can handle like a lot of a heavy load or a lot of pressure. and then of course they had to come out there with all the little stuff to kind of contain the spill and everything. Well, the article just continues on and says two birds, a belted kingfisher and a mallard, were killed in the oil spill, inspiring Santa Barbara County prosecutors to file charges for the deaths. These charges include several misdemeanors by violating California Fish and Game Code by releasing oil into the state waterway and two misdemeanor counts of unlawful taking of a bird, also a violation of the state Fish and Game Code. Lasagna is scheduled for arraignment on June 25th. Okay, so here's what's boiling bull down to, I'm going to tell you. Okay, this article, like I said, not a very big article. There's a couple of pictures, but if all this pans out, this is what's going to happen. You can say goodbye to truck drivers willing to haul hazardous materials. Because if hazardous materials, if a truck driver has an accident and the hazardous materials cause harm to wildlife like this, and a truck driver will get prosecuted for it, well, then I ain't going to haul it. That's all it boils down to. I ain't going to do it. It's going to be outrageously expensive for somebody to haul hazardous materials. If not only can they get charged for having the accident, or you're going to get charged for whatever, you know, you're going to do for that cause. Now, I can understand that if you do something that causes harm because you didn't do something correct to prevent the hazardous materials from getting anywhere like outside the containment, but when you did everything you could other than having the accident, you know, so I don't know. I mean, I don't know. What do y'all think about that? Cause I just think it's odd that you're going to, I mean, you got charged for the accident, you know, I mean, you can file charges against making an unlawful turn. You know, maybe you can say, well, that caused wildlife to die. Well, you know what, even if I didn't have hazardous materials, if I wrecked the truck out in the middle of the field, you know, if it went off the road and crashed over a hill and whatever, and it ended up catching fire and burning, something, you know, So that means if a deer or a rabbit got killed during the fire or the wreck, if I ran over something while the truck was skidding off the road, can you get charged for those deaths too? You know, are you going to get charged for that stuff too? So again, I can understand you wanting to, if there's some kind of like, you know, environmental code that the driver broke because he spilled. But is that the same as charging them for the death because they violated a wildlife code? I don't know. That's kind of weird to me. Like I said, that's gonna cause a lot of problems on down the line if that becomes some kind of precedent where, you know, not only are you going to get in trouble for having an accident, which is probably going to be your fault, which it probably might be, you're going to get charged for damaging the freight, damaging the equipment, damaging other property, but then you're also going to get charged for damaging wildlife. You know, I mean, what happens if you have a wreck and you accidentally, because the truck went off the road, you ran over an endangered tree that they have classified, you know, like out there when you're hauling out there in California and out in the desert and you lose control, you skid off the highway and you hit a Joshua tree. You know, they're classified as endangered, protected. You know, what if you're out here in Texas and you run off the road and you rip through a whole field full of bluebonnets? You know, they're supposedly protected. So, you know, what does this say? You know, this is crazy. All right. You can't, you're just, I don't know. I can understand driver making a mistake, getting blamed for having an accident. But as a result of the accident, he's going to get charged with even more crimes because of where he was, because of what they were hauling. And that's the other thing, you know, hazardous materials can cause more harm. If there's a code in the environmental protection area, I can understand it, but this is pressing for wildlife, you know, in go back to it. Let's what happened. Spilled the, what was it again? It was the charges, including misdemeanors, violating California Fish and Game Code. Okay. So there was a Fish and Game Code by releasing oil into a state waterway. Okay. And then it says misdemeanor counts of unlawful taking of a bird. Also a violation of the state Fish and Game Code. Okay. So I can understand getting charged with releasing oil into a state waterway because you had an accident and that you made a mistake. It was your fault. And this is the result. Again, if he wasn't hauling oil, then he wouldn't get charged with this crime. So again, that becomes like, okay, now if I'm hauling oil and I have an accident, not only will I get charged for the accident, but I'll get charged for releasing the oil, although I did not intend to release the oil. So again, that's going to have problems with hauling oil or hazardous materials on down the line. But then if an animal happens to perish in this accident, you'd have no way of saving the animal or whatever. I don't know. But now you're saying that because the animal life was lost because of your accident, you're going to get charged with the death of that animal. So there you go. That's what it boils down to. And I don't know. What do you think? I mean, should they, already, I don't know. I just think it's kind of silly. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me that you're going to have more crimes. I mean, already, like I said, the driver made a mistake, did an unlawful act. That's the crime. Okay. You made a mistake. You shouldn't have done that. You blame for having the accident. Okay. Now you want to relate any charges to that? I can see that, but I don't know. It just don't make any sense to me. Anyway, tell me what you think. 516-387-1733. And give me a shout. Let me know. So, that's just kind of weird. All right. So, yep, like I said, check us out, redneckandknives.com, and we're going to be pushing on through here. And if you got anything to add, just let me know. Sit tight. We're here. Redneck and Knives, all things trucking and then some.
somebody with a truck and two strong arms, not scared of dirt, and willing to work till the sun goes down. So I pulled up and said, I'm your man, I can start right now. And we shook hands. He said, the fence needs fixing, the peaches need picking, and the cows need bringing round. I was hauling hay, I was feeding the hogs, and that summer sun had me sweating like a dog. So I cooled off in the creek. Then it was back to work in that dadgum heat. I was cussing out loud, thinking about quitting. Looking back now, I'm sure glad I didn't. But just when I thought it couldn't get no hotter, I caught a glimpse of the farmer's daughter. Just getting home from Panama City, she was all tanned up and my kind of pretty. When her eyes met mine, I was thinking that I sure love my job. As the days got shorter, our talks got longer, the kisses got sweeter and the feelings got stronger. So we'd hop in the truck and get all tangled up every chance we got. We were down by the river all night long. When the sun came up, I was sneaking her home and dragging my butt to work. With the smell of her perfume on my shirt, I'd be on the tractor, she'd be on my mind. With that sun beating down on his back of mine. And just when I thought it couldn't get no hotter, I fell in love with the farmer's daughter. Got married last spring. Whoa, and there ain't no better life for me. I'm still hauling hay and feeding the hogs, and that summer sun's got me sweating like a dog. So I cool off in the creek, and she brings me out a glass of sweet iced tea. Now I'm on the tractor, she's on my mind, and I can't wait till it's quitting time. And just when I think it can't get no hotter, I come home to the farmer's daughter. Yeah. The farmer's daughter.
Let me thank Trucker Tools for helping us out and supporting our messages. Trucker Tools is an all-in-one app for truckers and their business. The Trucker Tools app was built from feedback from real drivers and is always being updated to better assist drivers in saving time, running more efficiently, and making more money. Check out their website at truckertools.com. That's Trucker Tools, the app for truckers.
That much about life, you're just living like kerosene dancing around the fire. But you're in, so you jump right in, ain't afraid to fall, and you give it all. She got the best of me, she broke. Cause I'm getting over her, a little more with every song. See, I'll sing along. She got the best of me,
All right, all right. Good deal, good deal. Hey, all right. This is Ed with Redneck and Eyes, and keeping things going on here. Give us a call, 516-387-1733, and just tell us what you think. So yeah, I was just kicking back here, and everything was going good, and I just thought I'd look over some of the different deals we got going on here. Let's see. let's see here. I was going to read some of the comments that were made on the YouTube channel. They seem to be pretty cool, and always like looking over these. And sometimes I try to respond when I can, and sometimes, you know, I just leave it be. It's how it goes, you know. So the comment was made. We got a video out there about doing a lease purchase and being an owner-operator, and of course we get a lot of good feedback from that video because it kind of just boils down to the common sense kind of things of. And the things that you might not be looking for when you're thinking about doing a lease purchase. So, you know, owner-operator, lease purchase, you know, everybody says they're one and the same, but they're totally different. So that's the other thing is that when you talk about being an owner-operator, that's you owning the truck and hauling the freight for either, you know, your own authority, which is another different subject, but being an owner-operator means it's your truck. You own it. You're the driver. And you are making the decisions on where to buy the fuel, where to get the truck worked on, or, you know, how to fix it, whatever. It's all you, up to you. You can do it yourself, whatever. And then lease purchase is different because it's you're actually doing, you're leasing the truck, of course, you know, doing, and the other thing you have to watch out for is lease purchase. You can do a lease purchase and be like doing, working for a carrier, but the carrier is not associated with the company that you're doing the lease purchase. But a lot of times when we refer to doing a lease purchase, you are currently a company driver working for a large carrier, and that carrier itself offers a lease purchase program. And you're going to go do the lease purchase with the carrier you already work for. So you're going to become an owner operator for that carrier. That's pretty much what we're talking about. So really what it boils down to is that we want to explain the ins and outs of that lease purchase, because what it is that you are essentially renting the truck from the owner of the truck to operate that truck as the owner of the truck. So you still get to make now, and here's the other thing is that you are told you can make decisions on where to buy the fuel, how to buy the fuel, how to get the truck worked on, or when to get the truck worked on, and all that stuff. You're told that. There's a lot of freedom to come with it, but lease purchases a lot of times will have little stigmas in the contract saying you have to get the trucks worked on this way, you have to buy fuel here, you have to do it this way, you have to do a certain way, depending on what all that is, because the lease purchase, there's two different contracts. You got the lease purchase contract, and then you got the owner operator contract. So you're doing a lease purchase with the company that you're working for, and then you're doing the owner operator for the company you're working for. Well, the owner-operator thing says, as long as you just haul our freight with your name on the door and all that, and you abide by our standards, you're fine. Lease purchase is different. It's like, okay, you're driving the truck. We own the truck, but we're going to let you drive it, and you're going to make payments, and we're going to let you operate it as long as you just operate it along the lines of here. But you also need to get the truck worked on here. You need to tell us when you do this. You need to tell us when you do that, and a lot of things like that. So we kind of did a couple of videos on that, and we talk about that a lot. And we get some video of some good feedback on that. So this is King Rome. He said a couple weeks ago, he said, thank you for this video. I'm a rookie in this game, and the goal is to eventually get my own truck. There's definitely some good knowledge I needed to know. So that this is and that's what it is. It's great to know that there are people out there that are just now getting into it that really want to know the ins and outs of it. And this is the kind of stuff we want to help with, you know. You think you're going to hear it all. You're going to hear a bunch of different stuff from the truckers out there and the truck stops or the truck shows or whatever. You got to get the information. You got to be looking for it, because if you just assume that it'll all work out, it doesn't. That's the worst part about it. And, you know, it's one of those things where I'm not going to really say, you know, hey, you shouldn't do this. or you definitely should do this. You know, there's a couple of things that are just sometimes you ain't going to tell nobody. You know, sometimes they're going to say, you know, I don't care how many people tell me no, I'm still going to do it. So I try not to tell people no, don't do that. A lot of times you're kind of like, you know what, you might be better off going a different route. And, of course, lease purchase is probably the last route you want to take. You want to avoid that. But, you know, a lot of times you just can't tell drivers that. You just have to let them learn for themselves. So that's all we could say. You know, the more and more, the more you get with it, like as far as like honesty and everything, when you start getting into like the truth of it, you know, and yeah, these are all the good things, but here's some of the bad things. And when you say those bad things, they're like, you know what, maybe I'm better not do that then. There you go. Sounds good to me. Sounds like a lot of cool things to do. So another good video we did that we get a lot of feedback from is we did a video about the inner axle locking differential. And of course, this Andy B, he's one of the last to comment on it. And he says the inner axle and axle locker is the only way to go. Inner axle lock isn't enough. I would have to agree with that. That's a good comment. He is talking about how we always talk about how the inner axle lock is locking the power between the two axles, but you still have differential spinning in between each or on each wheel of the axle. So you could get stuck even with the locker's lock because you're getting both power to both axles, but you're not getting all the power to both wheels. So having axle lockers as well, which means you're technically getting a good all-wheel drive kind of thing out of the drive axles. You know, when truckers say four-wheel drive or all-wheel drive, we're trying to say just those two axles in the back. That's got power going to them. That's it. So, yeah, we get a lot of good feedback from that because it's really just boiled down to there's never really been any good videos to talk about that from a trucker's perspective. It's always been, you know, as an engineer or as a mechanic. But truckers, you know, it's you got to kind of talk in their language. You got to tell them. And it's it took me a while to understand it too, you know, and finally you start getting into it and you understand it and it makes sense now. It makes a lot of sense. And for folks who don't know out there, it's go check the video out. You know, we try to share it as much as we can, but it's probably our most watched video and it's talking about the inner axle locking differential. So it's a big deal. So we've got a lot of old school talk about there all the time, you know, here weekly. We'll get a lot of our recognized members calling in and our founders talking about how things used to be and how they should be and how they ain't like that no more. And of course, Jay Brand commented about a month ago and it says, love listening to old school truckers talking about trucking. Good stuff. Yeah, we appreciate that. It's always good to hear people talk about that because we really appreciate it too. It's a big deal. We think it's pretty much, you know, we know trucking has advanced. You know, we got all this technology and it's great and everything, but really it's what happens, and we see that a lot because we were talking about that just a couple weeks ago. What it boils down to is you get a lot of people out there that just kind of let the job go. They let the technology do the job. And they get out of doing the job themselves. So maintenance or just, you know, keeping up with traffic on the road, you know, you're relying on GPSs, you're relying on, you know, satellite radio to tell you traffic and all that. And it's not as fast as just, you know, checking it yourself or talking on the CB and finding out for yourself right then and there because things change, you know. So we always think that, hey, the sensor is out. We shouldn't drive the truck because the sensor's out. Well, you know, if you check the belts, you don't need a belt sensor. You know, if you check the oil, you don't need an oil level sensor. You know, it's like I don't need a computer to tell me I have low oil. I have a dipstick. I check it. You know, I mean, it's great. I guess you have an emergency. If you're losing tons of oil all of a sudden, you need a whistle to tell you. But if you're checking your gauges like you should be, then you don't need any kind of extra bell and whistle. You know, when you see the heat of the engine go up, when you see the temperature go up on the engine, you got a problem. You know, and that's a lot of things. You see that. We see that all the time. One of our good friends runs a Facebook group called Ask a Veteran Driver, and a lot of drivers will post pictures of their dash with their different sensors going off, and they'll look at the gauges, and that's what it is that when if you get a check engine, well, the first thing you ought to, when you get a check engine light, the first thing you ought to do is check your gauges, make sure that's not out of the ordinary. And of course, a lot of times, see, they don't check the gauges that often, so they don't know if it's out of the ordinary. So if they get a check engine light and then you look down and your temperature is at 230, your water temperature is at 230, do you know that's hot or do you not know that's hot? Well, I don't know if that's hot or not. Is that supposed to be hot? Well, yeah, that's hot. Okay. The truck shouldn't be that hot all the time like that. So you probably got a problem with some kind of cooling system or something. So you need to check it. But we don't do that. We don't check our gauges going down the road. So that way, when there's a problem, you don't see it. You don't know that there's a problem, because once the buzzer goes off, you're like, well, what's the problem? I don't know. You got to hook the computer up to it and you got to check it. No, man, come on. You know, there's other things we can do without doing that. If you check everything and everything looks good, and if you know everything looks good and you still got a check engine light, then you hook it up to the computer. Then you know you got a problem that you can't figure out unless you hook it to the computer. A lot of times, though, you can figure it out without having to hook to a computer. So there's just things like that. And, of course, you know, a lot of these good comments is just talking about that. And we just appreciate all you guys doing out there. Yeah, another great comment was for our interaxle locking differential. It says, thank you for the easy to understand explanation. The only question I have left is, in the snow, is it better to drive with it on? It says, it sounds as though it would help, but I don't want to use it if it won't. I've only been driving 2 months and I'm currently teaming during the winter up in Buffalo, New York. Thanks for the information and the video. God bless. And then he added too, he goes, I've yet to get stuck. Apparently I drive better than 50% of the other drivers here at this Swift location. I've also been out every single time it snowed this year, and this will help even more to use to make the snow drive even better. And I'll tell you what, it helps sometimes, but it's not guaranteed. You still got to maintain, you know, what it does is that when you start slipping, like we say in the video, if the one wheel in the front still slipping, it starts slipping, you're still going to get all your power to your back wheels. So it helps in keeping traction like that. A lot of times in these newer trucks, especially when you're out there slipping if it's like cold and snowy and icy, you might have to roll your window down if you're going real slow or whatever. You can hear it. You can hear the air help. The stabilization, they got traction control on these newer trucks, and it'll slip. It'll let the drive axle kind of not turn in order to catch it up to make sure it doesn't keep spinning and get a spin out. So it's really cool, and you can hear that sometimes. But having it locked in a snowy situation, especially if it's like packed snow, if you're going through like fresh snow, it's a lot of time because it's basically like mud, you know. And of course any ice and everything, you want to go slow. You don't want to try to get up too fast. I would think if you're driving in ice and snow, you're probably driving under 40 miles an hour anyway. So yeah, you just keep it slow. And of course, like I said, we appreciate the feedback and everything. We were going to try to do more videos, during 2020, to more help this explain this better with like more drivers and get out there in the field and look at things and how it works and all that. So hopefully down the line we'll get those done and we'll get them out there on YouTube. And it's a great thing. We really appreciate drivers helping us out with sharing these videos and everything. So yeah. But yeah, just keep them coming. And we appreciate all that. And like I said, YouTube channel, it's on Redneck and Eyes, and we've got a lot of cool videos on there. And it's still new. We're still growing, and we appreciate everybody's feedback on that. So keep it coming. And we're just kicking back here. We're checking back here on redneckandeyes.com. Go check that out and go like our Facebook page. We got Twitter. If you're on that stuff, you know, go check it out. And we appreciate it. We always try to update drivers on all that kind of stuff. So we're going to kick back here. One of our great sponsors is DPF Regeneration. DPF Regeneration has been with us pretty much from the get-go. We really appreciate everything they've done for us and everything. They are a company that specializes in helping drivers, trucking companies, everybody. I mean, it's from the small diesel engines to the big trucks to helping them maintain their particulate filters and regen system maintenance. And it's, you know, they do the filters, the catalysts, the SCR units, the EGR coolers, and the mufflers, everything. And they've got a great network of shops, and they've got where that you can send them off the product. They can clean it and they can send it back, or they can get you what you need, you know, as quick as you can and all that. And so you can check them out at dpfregeneration.com or www.webakem.com. I like that website better. It takes you to the same spot. It's just they got the two domain names hooked together. And it's the phone number is 1-800-634-3010. And they're, like I said, they're a great little family operated. Been doing it a long time. We appreciate everything they've done for us. They've really helped us out when we've needed it. And we couldn't be more thankful to have them with us. And like I said, they've been here with us for the longest. So check them out at dpfregeneration.com, 800-634-3010. So yeah, y'all stick around. We're going to hang in there. And this is Redneck and Ice, all things trucking and then some. So we appreciate y'all.
Georgia, he was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped
and
up
the devil jumped up.
Boy,
jumped
let me tell you
boy,
what.
Boy, let me tell you what.
I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you. The boy said, my name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet, you're going to regret, because I'm the best as ever been.
Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, because hell broke loose in Georgia, and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul.
Up his case and he said, I'll start this show, and fire flew from his fingertips as he rosined up his bow, and he pulled the bow across the strings and it made an evil hiss, and then a band of demons joined in and it sounded something like this. Finished, Johnny said, well, you're pretty good, old son, but sit down in that chair right there and let me show you how it's done.
Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. The devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Granted, if you don't fight, no child, no.
The devil bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat. And he he laid that golden fiddle on the ground at Johnny's feet. Johnny said, devil, just come on back if you ever want to try again. I done told you once, you son of a bitch, I'm the best there's ever been. He played Found a Mountain, Run, Boys, Run. Devil's in the house with the rising sun. The chicken in the bread pan, I'm picking out dough. Granny, will you dog fight, no child, no.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and Eyes was founded by truckers to help truckers and others handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you've got a Redneck and Eyes.
Justice was served on a rope. When evil was done, that was all that she wrote. But somewhere somebody decided that wasn't right. Now the bad guys run free in the street, while the good guys pay the price. They say people don't kill people, guns and rebel flags do. You can't speak of Jesus, how dare he ever speak the truth. These days, it's hard to find a line between right and wrong. With the past erased and rewritten, we don't understand where we came from. We'll be doomed to repeat those mistakes unless we tell that story right. No way around the truth, no matter how hard you try. They say people don't kill people, but guns and rebel flags do. And you can't speak of Jesus, cause how dare we ever speak the truth.
Driving down the inner. wrong. He flipped me the bird, and then he was gone. Some beach, somewhere, there's a big umbrella casting shade over an empty chair. Palm trees are growing and warm breezes blowing. I picture myself right there on some beach, somewhere. I circled the parking lot trying to find a spot just big enough I could park my old truck. A man with a big cigar was getting into his car. I stopped and I waited for him to back up. But from out of nowhere a Mercedes-Benz came cruising up and whipped right in. Some beach, somewhere, got all day to get there.
And I agree with what you're saying.
There's cold margaritas and hot senoritas smiling with long dark hair on some beach, somewhere. Well, I sat in that waiting room, it seemed like all afternoon. The nurse finally said, "Doc's ready for you. You're not gonna feel a thing. We'll give you some Novocaine. That tooth will be fine in a minute or two." Then he stuck that needle down deep in my gum, and he started drilling before I was numb. Some beach, somewhere, there's a beautiful sunset burning up the atmosphere. There's music and dancing and lovers romancing the salty evening air on some beach, somewhere.
Good deal, good deal. All right. Thanks for everybody listening in. And if you want to be part of the conversation, just call in 516-387-1733 and just push 1, be part of the conversation. We appreciate it. You know, getting back to the headlines, one of the things I wanted to talk about, which was kind of bugged me a little bit, but, you know, that's because I live in South Texas and it's one of them things. But so what happened was, is that a truck driver got busted, and that was in Pearsall, Texas. Now, if you're a truck driver and you ever been down 35 into Laredo, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Pearsall, that's where that big Petro is down there. So what happened was, is a truck, we're not real sure if he got busted and they opened up the door, and or he was in the midst of letting everybody out when they finally caught him. But they got video. It's like somebody, a bystander, took a video. But he opened up his reefer, and, you know, illegal aliens, immigrants, whatever you want to call them, they call them migrants in the newscast here. But, I mean, they just started pouring out of the truck, just pouring out. And they said that they managed to catch at least 65, which means – to me, and that the way I read that is that they didn't catch all of them. But what struck me funny was, is that the truck driver tried to get away by mingling in with all of the others that came out of the trailer. And of course, if they saw the driver, you knew what he was wearing, you knew what kind of clothes he was, even if you couldn't recognize his face or anything, you kind of picked him out, you know. And of course, he probably wasn't the only one drenched in sweat, is what it was, because several of them, people had to be, they had to call an ambulance out because they were severely dehydrated and covered in sweat. So I was like, yeah, you know, whichever person out there is not drenched in sweat. I mean, they might be sweating a little bit, but not as much as everybody else. So that'd be your truck driver right there, because he was sitting in the cab with the AC. But I'll tell you this, from a truck driver's perspective, I'm surprised this doesn't happen as more often than it does. There is so much truck traffic on the border that it's damn near impossible to catch everybody coming out of the across the border like that, because it's not that the truck goes into Mexico and picks people up and brings them across. They get across. Okay. There's all sorts of places that they cross out there in the middle of nowhere. The deal is that the truckers or whoever will pick them up on this side of the border down there and put them in the trailer. And then what they do is they get through the checkpoints. Now, if you're not familiar with it, and of course, this is the other thing too, that a lot of people in the United States, they don't really know. I mean, I didn't really know it until I went down to the border for myself. But what they've pretty much done, the immigration and customs enforcement, the border patrol, is they have people driving around watching out for people coming across, you know, different spots and all that. And of course, patrols can only do so much. And that's what you hear on the news, is that they need to be updated with cameras and drones and that kind of thing. And they, of course, they need air support and all that stuff. But it's still hard, you know. So you got people just coming up in small groups across wherever. So what happens is that the trucks or anybody, really, it doesn't really matter, but a truck is often the easiest way to do it. Is what they'll do is they'll gather a bunch of people together and put them in the back of a semi-truck, maybe put some freight in it, maybe there's freight already in it, whatever. You lock it up, seal it up, you have everything looking like you just, you know, picked everything up down where you are, and then you got to go through a checkpoint. Now, most all the main roads have checkpoints. So what it is that you've already made it that far across the border. You still got a good 100 miles before you're through all those checkpoints, and all those checkpoints, when they pretty much stop looking for you, is what it boils down to, is what you kind of want, is you want to be able to get to San Antonio or, you know, further north past that. Corpus Christi is a good one, you know, anywhere up there like that. Pearsall is another one, because they pretty much just stop looking for you. Down south, down toward the border in the valley and Laredo and all that, they've got patrols out monitoring everything, monitoring the city, monitoring the countryside, monitoring the roads and everything. And they got these checkpoints. And what you do is every time you leave Laredo, about maybe what, 40, 50 miles outside of Laredo, you come to this checkpoint. Every road that leaves Laredo has this checkpoint. And of course, if you're a truck driver, you pull up to the checkpoint, and they ask you, U.S. citizen, yes or no, here's your paperwork, whatever. I had a person in my truck when I was a trainer. I had a person, she was from Europe, and she, of course, she had a, like, German accent. I think she was from, Denmark or something. I can't remember for sure. I apologize. She knows me, and I know her. I forgot where she was from. But she came to the country, became a truck driver. And she left the border, and, you know, they said, you're a U.S. citizen. And she says, well, not yet. I can't remember what she, but anyway, she had an accent, and she figured that because she had a foreign accent that they would probably look for it. But she had her passport. She had, you know, she had her documentation. But they check for that. So they ask, you're a U.S. citizen, yes or no, and all that. And then if you're a truck driver, they ask, what are you hauling? Where are you going? Where are you coming from? All that stuff. Sometimes I'm hauling an empty trailer, and I tell them it's empty. You know, I've never had them check. I've never had them ask, can we look in the back, or can we see? I've had them ask for the paperwork, and I've given them paperwork. So other than that, I've never had any kind of problems. But they want to know. They want to know all that stuff. So a lot of truck drivers will tell them, you know, is that – A truck driver could be down south with a truck and then find a bunch of you know, illegal immigrants, aliens, whatever you want to call them, pile them up into the truck, seal it up, make it look good, get to that checkpoint. Once you clear that checkpoint, you're done. You're good to go. You make it as far as you can, and then you open up the door and let them all out. Well, basically, nobody's looking for them anymore. Nobody's going to stop them. Nobody's going to ask. Nobody. There's no Border Patrol. The Border Patrol is further south. And a lot of times what happens is a lot of these people that get in these trucks, well, you find out sometimes, I don't know if you've heard it in the news, where they find dead people in the back of trucks. And this guy, like in Houston, you know, he took them all the way to Houston. And that was the reason why they died, because he took them all the way to Houston. Now, this guy here, he took them to Pearsall, which is not that far north of the checkpoint. And you see that they're already like, you know, sweating like pigs, because they were in a hot truck. And this was even refrigerated. I'm not even sure if he had the refrigerated unit on or not. Probably not. But they were drenched in sweat and had, you know, had to call an ambulance up for a lot of them. And the truck driver, you know, I mean, of course, he's in trouble now. And I'm not sure. There's not many details in the article, but I was just, it is shocking to me that it doesn't happen as often as it does now. I mean, that this year, I think, is a regular thing. I mean, if it was at night, they never would have caught these people, I don't think. But it's on CDLLife.com. It says, trucker tried to avoid charges by blending in with 65-plus migrants as they fled his trailer. This article was written on March 25th. And this was like, yeah, on the 22nd of March is when this happened. It says, a truck driver tried posing as one of at least 65 illegal immigrants discovered in the back of his tractor trailer in Texas on Monday in an attempt to avoid charges. The human smuggling attempt was discovered on Monday, March 22nd, in Pearsall, Texas. According to Kins 5 News, police were contacted after a witness reportedly saw an arm flailing out of the back of the trailer and then witnessed someone stick their head out of the same opening. I'm trying to see. Excuse me. See, I don't even think this is a refrigerated trailer. According, look, from the picture I see, it's not refrigerated. It's just a van. And see, that just makes it even worse, because you know they were sweating like pigs back there. It says reportedly, and then the head of the same opening. Police quickly responded to the call. But when they stopped the big rig, the illegal immigrants jumped from the trailer and began to flee the scene. Just every time I think of this, I think of all this stuff. I think of when I was it Cheech Marin did that Born in East L.A. That was a funny movie. It made fun of all this stuff, you know, but it was something else. Excuse me. It says, as they fled, the truck driver attempted to blend in. It says he said attempted to blend in with the fleeing migrants as if he were one of them, but was promptly apprehended along with at least 65 others. Witnesses were able to identify the trucker for officers based on his clothing. So like I said, if it was at night, they probably never got caught, because during the day, somebody saw, you know, somebody's head poking out. But again, I'm not real sure. I bet you that the driver just was contacted. Hey, can you move some people for us? Looks like that he had nothing but people in there. It says several of the migrants believed to have escaped police, but the truck driver is currently in federal custody. It is unclear exactly what charges he'll be facing. The smugglers have a complete disregard for human life, said Harry Jimenez, an investigator with the Department of Homeland Security. They don't care about the safety and security and comfort of the individuals as they're transporting. And they don't. I mean, just think about, like I said, they made them all the way to Houston and a lot of them died. And who knows where those people end up, you know? And I can see this happening more and more and not people not getting caught. And I just see it happening all the time. I can see people dying and authorities never finding out, you know, like you'll never see them. They're gone. And, And it's just one of those things. You know, this is human nature right here. This is what happens when you create problems in one area, people flee that area for a better life in another area, and they're willing to risk their life to do that. Don't get me started about all that stuff, because I'll just tell you that it's one of those things where life needs to be better for people south of the United States. But I'm not sure that the people that are running things down there are the people that do it. Because, you know, they've been doing it for a long time. They've been in charge for a long time down there, and nothing's changed. So, you know, and I mean, we're not even talking about before my time. I'm just talking about since I've been alive. It's been the same, exactly the same. Nothing's changed. So if you want to make life better for those people, then I think you just need to start making life better. I mean, you know, when it started getting where life was better in New York and Georgia than it was in Texas and Missouri, you know, what did you do? You know, you started moving things out there and started, you know, expanding. And that's what it is. You know, you're talking about people trying to, you know, make progress. Progress is creating freedom in life and better quality of life, better for more and more people. And what, you know, if you want to do that, then there's a lot of things you got to change in regards to what the other countries are doing. Because, I mean, people say this country is not that perfect, but then people are killing themselves trying to get here. So think about that. Think about that. You think you got it good? You think you got it bad being born in the United States? Think about those people that weren't and that are killing themselves trying to get here. Just think about that. So things like that, like I said, it was kind of funny that the driver tried to blend in and all that. But like I said, I'm surprised that this does not get caught more and more. But I know that this happens all the time, that trucks are being, people are being put in trucks and moved, and you'll never catch them all. And this driver, he'll be in custody and he'll get in jail. There'll be another driver right behind him looking for that quick payday. Because the market is needed, you know. People are killing it. Like I said, people are killing themselves, paying all kinds of money trying to get here, and somebody's going to be picking their money. They're out there. It's not the right thing to do, but you know, people in charge aren't doing the right thing anyway. So you know. So what do y'all think? Let me know. And like I said, 516-387-1733. Check us out at redneckandeyes.com. And we appreciate everybody listening out there. Like I said, give us a comment and go check out our YouTube channel. Like, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. And this is Redneck and Eyes, all things trucking, and then some.
Purple.
At the truck shows out there on the open road, even in the driveway at his house, Johnny keeps it spit shine, shining on it all the time. He wants it looking good when he goes out. Why do people laugh at him and shake their head when he pulls in the parking lot? He's just another trucker man, trying his best to fit right in, but fit or not, he drives a old purple Peterbilt, and he don't care how people feel about it. 'Cause that old purple Peterbilt looks so good, it makes him feel so proud of it. Some drivers call him sissy man, but he don't let it get to him, he'll shout it. He drives a old purple Peterbilt, and he don't care how people feel about it. Yeah. A green one, although he's never seen one that looks as good as what he's got right now. Black might look more manly, or red like Christmas candy might help his clearance lights and chrome stand out. Then maybe that would be enough to end the jokes about his truck from all his friends.
but he'll live with the teasing, cause he ain't out for pleasing no one but him. He drives a roll purple Peterbilt, and he don't care how people feel about it, cause that roll purple Peterbilt looks so good it makes him feel so proud of it. Some drivers call him sissy man, but he don't let it get to him, he'll shout it. He drives a roll purple Peterbilt, and he don't care how people feel about it. You know, there's a lot of truck drivers out there on the road, and just like Johnny, a purple truck is their second home. And they'll be the first to tell you, son, you better leave old Johnny alone. He drives a roll purple Peterbilt, and he don't care how people feel about it, cause that roll purple Peterbilt looks so good it makes him feel so proud of it. Some drivers call him sissy man, but he don't let it get to him, he'll shout it. He drives a roll purple Peterbilt, and he don't care how people feel about it. Yeah, he drives a roll purple Peterbilt, and he don't care how people feel about it. To drive a purple truck like that. Hey, don't make fun of that purple truck. Just look at them lime green ones. I wouldn't make fun of that banana looking yellow truck over there. What about that baby blue with the rust on the bumper thing, right? You know, that thing.
We'd like to send a shout out to all these great supporters. They hung in there with us through the beginning, and we couldn't have done it without them. GTS Enterprises, North Liverpool, Ohio. RM Transport of Chandler, out of Chandler, Arizona. CK Hunter Transportation, out of Virginia Beach, Virginia. Peter Ramsey Trucking, out of Mountain Grove, Missouri. Dixon Transportation, out of Sarcoxie, Missouri. Lifetime Nut Covers out of Crystal Lake, Iowa. Iowa 80 Truck Stop out of Walcott, Iowa. SoCal Flashlights out of Los Angeles, California. My Right Load at www.rightload.com. And DPF Regeneration at www.webakem.com. Thank all of you for your support and generosity to Redneckinize.
Hypnotizes by dotted lines.
Good deal, good deal. Hey, yeah, this is Ed with the Redneck and Eyes, all things trucking and then some. And we do this live podcast every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock Eastern time. We're going to keep it rolling on here with just talking about the news and headlines and what's going on in trucking and life on the road. And give us a call, 516-387-1733. And also check us out, redneckandeyes.com. We'd appreciate it. We also got a really cool YouTube channel we're all really excited about, and go check that out. Like, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. You know, leave some comments and let us know what you think about the videos. We've been getting some great feedback on them, and we're really excited about it. Keep on going, keep doing that. So yeah, let's check it out and keep it going. So there was a couple of headlines that I wanted to bring up because it had me thinking about some things, and this one here. It's about this, what happened in South Carolina. It's on CDLLife.com. They've been posting a lot of these. What they do is they pretty much just take like some kind of local. What I think what they do is they constantly look at local stories. And if it involves trucking, then they kind of post it on their website and you get the link to it and go check things out. So this one here was put out on Friday, and the headline was, is police searching for a day cab that killed a young woman in a hit and run. And it says South Carolina Police Department has released information surrounding the vehicle responsible for a fatal hit and run earlier this month as they search for the culprit. 23-year-old Rebecca Brown was struck and killed on, it says, South Going Yard Drive on Wednesday, March 17th at around 9:20 p.m. in Sumter, South Carolina, under unclear circumstances. It says, according to the ABC 15 News, Brown was last seen at the Sumter stop and was missing for a week before her body was found dead in a ditch. The coroner report states that Brown died of blunt force injuries being struck by a vehicle. Thanks to security footage from a nearby business, police have determined that she was struck by a white Freightliner Cascadia day cab model semi-truck pulling a white trailer. The rig responsible is expected to have damage on the front right headlight area. Any individuals who have information about the hit and run have seen a semi-truck matching the description are urged to call the Sumter Police Department 803-436-2700 or Crime Stoppers at 888-CRIME, South Carolina. SC. And the reason why that I wanted to talk about this is that this is one of my biggest fears. I don't know about the rest of you truckers out there, but every time that you kind of like, you know, you're always checking, you check your mirrors, you look ahead, you check your mirrors, you know, you check the time, you check your log, maybe you check a GPS, you know, you're always got your eyes moving. And sometimes you kind of get distracted in one area or in another area, depending on, you know, and it's just seconds. It's just those seconds sometimes that you just freak out a little bit about what just happened. And you can just get distracted for those little seconds and hit a little bigger bump than normal. And you wonder, what was that? Did I hit something? What did I do? You know, and it's just seconds. And it's not even that you're still in the lane. Everything's fine, you know. But especially if it's dark outside and you can't really see everything around you, you know, you're just relying on the fact that you're on an interstate going 60 miles an hour and nobody is stupid enough to jump out in front of you. You know, that's what you're relying on. So just probably about less than 6 months ago, I'm driving down 35 southbound through Austin. And if anybody's been in that area, they know, you know, there's, you know, there's not really any kind of like spacing in between the roads. There's just walls. They've got concrete wall dividing the access road to the highway. And then, of course, another concrete wall dividing the northbound to the southbound. So it's not even a full shoulder. You can't even pull a car off into this area. It's about maybe 3 feet wide between the wall and the white line that the right lane just goes right by, right? And I swear, I called the police because I swear I saw a body, a human being laying in that little section of the road between the wall and the white line. That's what I saw. I saw blue jeans and a sweatshirt, like a hoodie. And it looked like it still had, you know, a person inside those clothes. That's what it looked like to me. And I called, you know, there's no really safe place to stop. So I called. And then up ahead, there were more vehicles stopped. So I pulled off and other people had seen it. So they stopped and they said they didn't saw anybody get hit or anything. They just saw it. So they stopped. And so I said, okay, well then I just kept going because, you know, there's nothing I can do. And I'm one of those persons, if there's nothing I can do, ain't no use hanging around. All I can just do is verify that I seen it, you know? So, and I called and of course they got my number and everything. So, I never heard anything. I checked the news later that day to see if there was any reports and nothing. Of course it's Austin, so I'm not real sure, but I mean, that's one of those things where you always wonder, you know, things can happen and you not know it. So I don't know if this driver seen it and said, ain't no way in hell I'm stopping. I'm not real sure if that was the case, but it's very possible that the driver never saw it, never knew it. It's possible. I'm not going to say that it's completely impossible. You can disagree with me on that, but I think it's possible that it can happen and nobody ever knew, you know. One of the other things I talked about in the past before was I was at a traffic stop or like a stop sign coming off of a highway. And of course I'm at a stop sign and the bridge is crossing in front of me where traffic is coming from across the bridge. Well, the truck's coming across the bridge. There's a car in front of me and that car is just kind of creeping out. Well, the truck goes by and that car just keeps creeping. Well, eventually that car just keeps on going to where it gets caught by the back bumper of the trailer and gets just yanked into the ditch. And the truck just keeps going. And of course he's going to the truck stop just down the corner. So the truck pulls into the truck stop. I knew that the driver had no idea that his truck pulled that car in that ditch. So I pulled in and he pulled into the fuel island. I pulled in behind him. The funny part was that the truck stop, this big parking lot where all the cars and everybody were parked. Everybody comes running over. You hit that car and you didn't stop. It's like, dude, he never knew it. Never knew it happened. And he didn't. He never knew it happened. And I was on his side. I said, dude, I was there. I saw it. I said, but you never would have known because the car just kept going, kept moving. It wouldn't stop. You went by and then the car kept moving forward and it kept moving forward and the bumper caught it. So, you know, things happen like that and you just never know, especially in a vehicle that big, you know, and that's kind of why you do a walk around. Sometimes you discover you pick something up going down the road, like debris, like trees, branches, something like that. Gets caught up in your tire and you never know it. You know, you see drivers going down the road. Back in the day when mattresses were being dumped off the highway for some stupid reason, you'd run over a mattress and it get caught up under the truck and all of a sudden you got a fire going down the road because the mattress caught on fire. So things like that, like I said, you just never know. And it's one of my biggest fears of something bad happening and me not knowing. And like I said, taking a life like that, it's something I always think about. So I didn't know what y'all thought about that and everything. It's just something that caught my attention. And I thought I'd just bring it up. I'll keep an eye on it, see maybe if they find it, if they ever find something. You know, good thing they got a video and they know at least that's what happened. Not real sure. The video, it's kind of like of the parking lot of that local business. So I'm not real sure if the video caught. It's just a snapshot picture. It's not like a video of it happening. So I'm not real sure if the video caught the incident, like if this woman was in that video and the video caught that truck hitting the woman. I'm not real sure if that's the case. So we'll keep an eye on that. And if everything pops up in the headlines, we'll be sure to let y'all know and we'll share it the best we can. Another one that was pretty funny was a couple of tow truck drivers got into it out on the highway. And this, of all places, I expected this to be maybe in L.A. or Atlanta or something like that. No, this was in Ontario, Canada. It says highway fight broke out between two tow truck drivers during rush hour traffic in Ontario, Canada. Now, I thought you guys were all polite up there, eh? It says, the incident took place on Highway 401 near Bayview Avenue just after 6 p.m. According to police, two men started to fight along the side of the busy highway, and a third tried to intervene. They got a little picture. It's kind of like a helicopter picture. And, you know, they're like tugging at their yellow vests and all that stuff like that. OPP Highway Safety Division tweeted the photo of the guys. It says altercation caught on camera appeared to involve a driver from the earlier collision and an unknown tow operator. OPP investigation continuing. Anyone who has information and can identify those involved, please call Toronto OPP, police tweeted. According to the police, the altercation was over by the time they reached the scene. There were no serious injuries. So no serious injury reported, no arrests. So, yeah, and like I said, I thought you guys were polite up there. I thought everybody was so nice up in Canada, I thought, you know, so polite and so, I don't know, considerate and everything. But no, I guess not. They don't really say, you know, what it was about or anything. I guess they just, you know, stopped traffic, rush hour. People pulled on the shoulder and on one. And it's like the fight's like going on in the middle, like where the wall is where how the picture is. So that's kind of funny to me. And, you know, that's just crazy. Crazy, man. Crazy world out there. Anything can happen on the road. Anything can happen. You never know. Stuff like that. So one of the other things that came out there that made the news, and I don't know why, maybe this was kind of like was paid by the truck stop, but they put an article in here. Came out with like Thursday, I think it is. It says Love's opens a store in Tennessee with 88 truck parking spaces. I guess 88 is a lot when it's a Love's. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I remember Love's was small. Remember when Love's were small? Remember when the biggest Love's, I remember one of the biggest Love's I had ever been to was up there in North Little Rock, Arkansas. That was like one of the biggest because it had the Chester's Chicken like right in the middle of the whole thing. It was like all wide open. You know, there wasn't any separate restaurant. It was all there together. They had the same people that checked you out in buying your diesel is the same people that prepared your chicken, you know, as it's all tied together. And that wasn't even like, that was the big one because back then I was told that what they did was, is that since they didn't have no room on that property to make anything bigger, they just tore down the old building and built a new building. And it still, I don't know if y'all remember, but it had like, you could park some trucks on the front side over by the gas pumps. And then you can park the rest of the trucks on the back side by the diesel pumps. And it was still a pain in the butt, and that was one of the biggest ones. What did it have? Like maybe 15 spaces, maybe 20. I don't know. And that used to be the biggest Love's. Love's were never big on their parking spaces. But now, you know, Love's are like normal truck stops now. You know, most all of them have showers. Very few of them don't. I tell, when I used to train drivers, they come in new into the trucking industry, I used to tell them, I said, Love's is a good truck stop, except in Oklahoma. Because in Oklahoma, loves is like a regular gas station, because that's where they're from. That's where they're based out of. So it's kind of like Love's. They started out being just gas station convenience stores, and then they expanded out into truck stops. And now it's basically, they're just truck stops. But like, there's several locations within Oklahoma City or the whole state of Oklahoma to where they're just gas stations, and there's not any trucks, any diesel, nothing. You know, it's just like a 7-Eleven. So you got to watch out when you're traveling through Oklahoma and you see the blue signs that have like truck stops or gas or whatever, and there's the logo for Love's. Don't let that fool you. It may not be. A lot of times you'll have to make sure that it says like diesel written on the bottom underneath the Love's logo. Or just, you know, like you're saying, you got to check a truck stop guide or some kind of GPS on your phone or something to make sure it is got truck parking. There's a lot of Love's out there in Oklahoma where it is just a convenience store and there aren't any diesel pumps, but they've got some truck parking because they might be next to a casino. They might be next to a Walmart or something to where you can get in there and park. But like I said, don't get fooled. But Love's, they used to be, you know, but they're getting better. They've been getting better for a while now. You know, they got that damn Chester fried chicken. Boy, that'll kill the driver right there. You can't resist it. It's just too damn good. But it says here on Thursday, Love's Travel Stop opened a new store located in Coffee County, Tennessee. The new Love's located opened for business on March 25th. The store is located off I-24 in Hillsboro, Tennessee. Amenities for the new Love's include 88 truck parking spaces, a Hardee's restaurant, 7 diesel bays, 7 showers, laundry facilities, and a cat scale and a dog park. The dog park's pretty cool. Laundry facilities, that's another new one that Love's is getting into now. This is where they provide washer and dryers. A lot of truck stops have that now. A lot of truck stops never did before. And you just got to, you know, you got to watch out for that because it's, you know, a lot of times you think all truck stops have it. No, they don't. I remember when this was in like 1996, 97, back when I first started, and I stopped and I had a truck stop, one of those truck stop books that gives you all the truck stops and tells you where they're all at based on the highway and cities and all that. And I delivered somewhere in, I think it was Mississippi, I think. And I like one of those where I drove all night and, you know, never was in an area where I can get a good truck stop. Well, so I just got my book out and I said, where's the closest truck stop? I got time to kill. In between loads, I just got dropped the load off. I don't have to go pick up another load, you know, for a while. I got time. Where's the truck stop? I'm going to go get a shower. So I found a little local truck stop, went in and asked for a shower. They said it was $10 for the shower, $5 towel deposit. So I get all set up and it's a community shower. It's one of those where it's open, where anybody that pays money to go take a shower, they're all in there together. And there's no separating anything. So that was the first time that I seen that for the truck, for the showers. I mean, before that, before I became a truck driver, I never knew that truck stops had showers. I never knew that, you know, I never even suspected that they would, because I never thought about it. So it was like, you know, news to me. But this one here, this was one of those where it was community. It was all together. And there was no, you know, I think it was a men's restroom and a women's restroom. And I think both of them had showers and they were all open. Everything was open. So I think as I was getting dressed, another guy came in there and started taking his shower. But, you know, I was already done and gone. So showers, you know, come a long way, man. Come a long way. Now we got our own bathroom. You can stay in there as long as you want. Some people stay in there too long. As long as you're parked and out of everybody's way, I guess it's, you know, whatever floats your boat. And it says Greg Love, the CEO, he says, we're excited to open our 17th location in Tennessee to bridge the gap between our Jasper and Christina locations, said Greg Love, co-CEO of Love's. This stop will help professional and four-wheel drivers get back on the road safely and quickly. See how they add that four-wheel? Four-wheel drivers, they have to add that because, you know, truth be known, I think that the truck stops really, the truck stops are only bigger and better now because of the travelers. of the, you know, the cars coming in and out. Because, come on now, you stop at a truck stop that's busy, full of cars, you see how many cars go in and out of there compared to how many trucks. Cars are massive. Traveling traffic for cars is huge, especially in the travel areas where you get a lot of tourism. And it says this is will provide all the products and services we're known for at competitive prices. It says earlier this year, Love said the company had plans to open as many as 50 new truck stops across the country in 2021, which would add approximately 3,000 new truck parking spaces to the Love's network. The company added approximately 3,000 new truck parking spaces in 2020 with the openings of 38 stores. Love's is headquartered in Oklahoma City and currently operates more than 540 stores in 41 states. And see, they only opened up 38 stores, and they said they had 3,000 parking spaces. And again, I can't stress this enough. Just because you create parking spaces doesn't mean you're creating good parking. You open up a truck stop in the middle of nowhere, doesn't solve the problem. Okay, we need truck parking in Austin. We need truck parking in Dallas. We need truck parking in Houston, not outside of Houston. We need it in Houston. You know, we need truck parking in Atlanta. We need truck stops in Atlanta. I don't know. Anybody from Atlanta know that there's any good truck stops? No, not in Atlanta, not in Atlanta. No, you get outside of Atlanta, you probably find some decent truck stops. I think the only truck stop, I mean, there's that Pilot on the south side, you know, it's not very big. And then there's that Petro, which nobody wants to go to. You know, I mean, I go to those truck stops because I need fuel in Atlanta, or I need I'm in Atlanta. But if I don't have to go to those truck stops, I don't, because it's too crowded and they're not safe, you know? So I'm just saying that's the deal, you know? So politicians, CEOs, whatever, it ain't about, you know, oh, we've got, you know, 3,000 new truck spaces opening up this year. Yeah, but, you know, if you're building them out in the middle of nowhere in Kansas and, you know, out in the hills of Tennessee, it ain't going to solve no problem, you know. Just like Nashville. You know, Nashville, Knoxville. Well, I mean, you know, Knoxville, that's another good one. There's a lot of good truck stops right there. There's that, of course, it's a travel area where you get the Flying J and the TA and the Petro are all right there together. You get on down the line, there's another TA. I don't know if it's still there or not. It's kind of like an old TA, but I always liked to park there. There was plenty of parking there because everybody was always parking out there on the outside of town at the Petro or at the other TA. But that one closer into town, it was, of course, it's not as nice. That there's the restaurant there. I don't think there is a restaurant, and they've got food. They make food, but there's not like a sit down restaurant. And there's no fast food at all, I don't think, at all. So it's like nobody wants to stop there because of that. And that's fine if you just need a place to park. And guess what? It's closer to town. So if you're delivering in town somewhere, well, there you're closer to town. And there's always good parking at that one. And that's another thing is when you get on the other side of Knoxville, going up like 81, 75 and 81 going that way, you kind of run out of options. And the further you get out of town. And to me, that's one of the highest traveled corridors is 75 going up to 81. It's because that is like the southeast part of the country going up into the northeast. That's a high travel route right there. And there's always truck stops full along that route. And it's amazing because there's a lot of truck stops and there are a lot of good ones and they're full. They're always full. And I guess the rumor got out about them is what you can say. But yep. And that's, you know, that's my only critique with that is that just because you got parking doesn't mean it's good parking. You know, we need parking in areas where there's parking needed, you know? So I'm going to keep honking the horn on that one because that's what it's always about. It's about good parking and good locations. You see that in Chicago. There's no place. You got to get an hour out of Chicago before you'll find a good truck stop, probably more like an hour and a half, maybe, you know, the Detroit area, same way, you know, those cities, there's tons of trucks going in and out of those cities, but no truck stops, no truck stops at all. And basically what it boils down to is it's expensive because, you know, the city has high taxes, property taxes, stuff like that. It's hard to be safe because it's a parking lot. And you, in order for it to be safe, that means you have to close the parking lot off and have security. The one in Detroit, it's called the Detroiter. I don't know how it's still going up there. I haven't been up there in a while, but when I was up there, it was guarded. You had security and you had to pay to park there. It had a pretty nice, I think it was an IHOP restaurant there, and it was pretty nice, old, but still nice. And it's okay. You know, I mean, most cities don't even have that kind of truck stop in so close to the city. And it wasn't even that close to the city. It was still out on the outskirts. So, you know, stuff like that. You know, that's what truck drivers talk about. So if you're not in the trucking industry and you wonder what truck drivers talk about, that's what we're talking about. Where to park? Where do you park when you go up there? You know, just like the Northeast, man, shoot, ain't nothing. Nothing up there. Nothing. You just, you know, oh, yeah, we'll just head up to the Northeast and find a place to park for the weekend. Nope, ain't going to happen. If you don't get up there by Friday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you ain't getting nowhere. I tried to get up there and I was going to deliver up in the Northeast. And I said, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to get up there Sunday morning, find me a parking spot at that TA and go and watch a football game. And, nope, I barely got that done. I got it done, but it took a while. I wanted to watch the noon game, but I didn't. I had to watch the 3 o'clock game because the noon game, I made it there in time for the noon game, but it took me a while to get a parking spot. So, yep, that's how it works. But how are we doing? Let's see. But, yeah, we're just kicking back here. You know, this has been on a while now. We're going on getting the two-hour mark. So that's pretty much what we talk about here on Redneck and I's All Things Trucking and Then Some. We appreciate everybody listening tonight. Like I said, we are here every Sunday evening, 516-387-1733. Sunday evenings, 7 o'clock Eastern time, for just a couple hours, you know, kicking back, going over the headlines, talking about life on the road, stuff like that. And we appreciate everybody joining in. I'm going to give a shout out to our sponsors, DPF Regeneration. Thanks for sticking with us and being there from the get go, from the beginning. Trucker Tools, truckertools.com, Load to Ride at LTRtransportation.com. Appreciate them. And, all the others out there is, you know, there's so many to name. And we've got them up on our website. You can go check them out, redneckandeyes.com. And go check out our YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody subscribing to that and giving us feedback and everything. We appreciate that. So keep that going. Like I said, like, comment, subscribe, share. We appreciate everything they're doing out there and helping us out. And we look forward to seeing everybody at the truck shows. I was just thinking the other day, need to get by a truck show pretty soon. I'm running out of ink pens. So we need to get to a truck show to get that done. So we hope to see everybody there. And until next time, like I said, keep between the ditches, and we'll see you out there on the road.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced. And DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Hey there, y'all. The truckers at Redneck and I's want to invite you to check out their live podcast, Redneck and I's, All Things Trucking and Then Some, every Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Just call 516-387-1733 and join the conversation. When everything goes wrong, you got a Redneck and I's.